Thousands of music industry insiders will be in New York this week to listen to hundreds of bands playing clubs all over the city. The music festival is sponsored by a trade magazine called the College Music Journal. The people who read it are some of the most influential tastemakers in independent pop music, college radio DJs. The CMJ Music Marathon, as it's called, has become one of the most important music events of the year. Unknown bands play, hoping to be discovered, and for better-known bands, it's a chance to reestablish their street cred. Joining us to preview some of the acts at this year's festival is rock journalist Pat Blashill, who writes for Rolling Stone, Wired, and other publications. Hi.
Hi.
So why is CMJ so important, and how did it get to be so influential?
Well, CMJ's been, you know, coming out for years, and I think it really hit its stride in the late 80s and early 90s when, you know, the music that had been called college rock became known as alternative rock, and that music went to the top of the charts. The festival and the magazine have sort of changed over the years, but mostly, yeah, it's tailored to college kids who are either, you know, in college radio or they want to go into the music industry. It's a good place for labels, you know, indie and large, to showcase groups. And hopefully, you know, they're going to, you know, after these shows, the college radio guys will come back to, you know, their town or their station and just shout the band's name from the rooftops.
Mm-hmm. And so it's considered influential in the larger culture because these college DJs, whatever they choose, kind of trickle out into the mainstream culture later.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. And, you know, but as I said, it's changed over the years. I think that, you know, now it's a way for, you know, labels and bands to sort of establish or reestablish their identity.
So what are some of this year's highlights?
Well, one of the bands that I brought was the AAS. They'll be playing at the festival. They're a New York-based band. Not really so much punk as post-punk, but I think kind of a twist to that.
As the cars go by, under the sun like an enemy, you wander, you wander, you wander.
This track is, I think, kind of fun because at first there's some sort of cryptic lyrics and then there's all these explosions. I think the thrill is just hearing the band actually keep it together. You think the song's going to fall apart at any moment, but they actually just sort of barely keep things together.
Did I detect a little 80s twang in there?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, the thing is they're kind of different from a lot of the punk revivalism. It's on the charts, top of the charts now. You know, they're not Green Day, but they're doing something else, and I think it's kind of fun.
And that's what's going on a lot right now in popular music, this kind of rehashing of the 80s.
Well, it's kind of funny. At the CMJ, you won't see stuff that's really, you know, I think the less interesting stuff that's at the top of the charts. I think the festival still is a real alternative. And interestingly enough, you're already hearing some, like, 90s revivalism that's, you know, zooming up the top of the charts. But I think these guys are sort of looking for something more pure and something a little bit more experimental.
Hmm. And what else?
I brought the Waco Brothers. They're kind of sloppy, defiant country rock. There's a couple of guys in the Waco Brothers that still play with the Mekons. The Mekons came out of an English punk scene, you know, 78, 77. They put out one of the first punk records of that original wave of English punk rock. But they very quickly sort of got possessed by the ghost of Hank Williams and started making country-influenced punk rock. And the Waco Brothers are sort of like a further evolution into that.
I was tired of having people woo me, calling all night, trying to fool me. I was alarmed at just how close they came. But now I'm better in every way, just a little bit better, though some might say.
Well, that sounds fun and danceable and sing-alongable.
Yeah. As a live show, they're completely, you know, raunchy and crazy. I guess the thing that I like about them also is there's a sense of humor there that's really kind of warm and genuine. I mean, they seem like, you know, they'd buy you a shot and, you know, maybe get you in a little trouble, but not a lot of trouble.
You know? I'll have you back before midnight or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so from the Waco Brothers to...
Let's just go completely across the spectrum to the Jurassic Five. The Jurassic Five is probably the best-known group on the festival bill this year, maybe besides the Chemical Brothers. They come out of a sort of alternative hip-hop scene. They're kind of a multiracial and sort of an unusual, you know, take on hip-hop, I think. The nice thing is they're kind of critical about, you know, what a lot of hip-hop has become now. They're critical of, like, very violent, sort of misogynistic hip-hop, but at the same time, they never sort of cross the line into self-righteousness. And they stay positive about what they're about, and, you know, they can really rhyme.
I put the bob in the bob, did he spit it for y'all city, use what the law give me, flip it if y'all with me, kind of black, kind of old, ghetto, so beautiful, still in it for you, the whole cover girl, centerfold.
I really love the way their voices intertwine there.
Yeah, that is some fast rhyming.
It's very fast, but it's also sort of like it goes back to the tradition of almost a cappella singing, you know, mm-hmm. where they're all rhyming in rhythm and then going against that in harmony.
Mm. And you say they're already signed and a big act already.
Yeah, and I think, you know, a lot of people in the music biz sort of look at the CMJ as a place where you can sort of catch up with bands. Certain labels will also want to reestablish an artist's credibility or just get them back in your face. I think Jurassic 5 is want to kind of, you know, keep playing for the peoples.
So what have you brought that you can take us out on?
Well, I've brought my favorite sort of guilty pleasure, and some people would call it a virus. It's a couple of fellows from Belgium that they DJ under the name Too Many DJs, but they also have a band called Soul Wax. Instead of cutting up pop music and deconstructing it, they kind of supersize pop music, and they take like the best parts of two different huge pop songs and just smush them together. You know, I think Too Many DJs kind of confirm something we've always suspected. A lot of people have always thought that Salt and Pepper and the Stooges might have something to talk about, that if they got together they could make, you know, beautiful music, and now we know they can. So obviously copyright and legal issues give people conniptions. The major labels are just having conniptions over stuff like this. As I understand it, Too Many DJs licensed this record that they put out so that it would be legal in Belgium. Then it's imported all over the world. So, you know, it's legal, but only in that country. And then beyond that, it's...
So how would you get it? Would you have to...
Go to a record store. Go to a college record store.
Now, it's illegal because it's not just 3-second samples. It's whole swats.
Oh, yeah. It's the whole thing. And so, you know, for me as just an observer and a critic, I mean, I think it's great because it sort of calls into question all these things about ownership and, you know, whose music is what. But, yeah, I mean, legally, people probably want to quash it. I'm rooting for him.
Well, thanks so much for coming in and
sharing
this music with us. It's been great.
Thanks, Madeline.
Pat Blaschel is a freelance rock journalist. The CMJ Music Marathon runs from October 30th through November 2nd in New York. Hundreds of bands will play. You just heard music from four of them. Too Many DJs, Jurassic 5, the Waco Brothers, and the Yeah Yeah Yeahs. And that's it for us. I'm Madeline Brand. Good evening from All Things Considered and NPR News.